Tucson, good morning and welcome to Tipping Point on this beautiful Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day here in Tucson, Arizona. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We do that every day, every week here. Thanks for joining us. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to join in on our conversation today. And I certainly hope that you do. Got a good show for you today. It looks like, unfortunately, I think all is well, but unfortunately, our first guest today may have to be rescheduled, but I've been talking with Chef Mo of Geronimo's Revenge. He's the recent Tucson winner of Guy's Grocery Games. Tucson area chefs tend to do really well on the Food Network, so we've been working to get him on, and we'll see if we can still make that happen today. But I've already been talking with Councilman Paul Cunningham this morning, and he will be on at the bottom of the hour to talk about impact fees and how we pay for growth. So he and I will hopefully take a very complex topic, break it down, and make it simple, and looking forward to that. So that's what our show is today. Give us a call as we close out the week, 790-2040. Doing what we often do, connecting the dots, making sense of the week that was. Let me just use the first part here to kind of cue up our bottom of the hour topic. And maybe you've been following it. It's actually one of those topics that made it into the news, and that is impact fees. And we're talking impact fees in the city of Tucson. And what happened in the recent Tucson past is that there was a decision made to basically say, look, if we're going to develop a new housing development or we're going to develop a new retail establishment, there's going to be more people using the roads to get there, right? We want the business to be successful. Or if there's 100 new people living in a master planned development, then that's going to be more people using the roads, more people flushing the toilets, more people during rush hour. And so this kind of framework was developed called impact fees, where the new development, right, it's not a current development. They can't come in and say, well, you know, we're going to now charge you an impact fee on something that's been standing up for 15 years. It's a new retail, new housing. Basically say, look, we're going to charge you an impact fee, and there's going to be a ton of math behind how that fee is broken up between parks, roads, fire, and police, right? Simple idea is we're going to charge a development fee to cover the costs of expanded service, and basically see if we can't make growth pay for itself. And so the reason why this, to me, is so important is not the nuts and bolts of it, per se. To me, I think how the city council comes to the decision on a year and a half decision-making process. Every 5 years, the state says, look, you have to update your impact fee structure. There has to be a nexus between development and growth and the impact fees charge. You got to update every 5 years. That this is a philosophical decision on how the city is going to grow and pay for growth. And I'll probably end up repeating this at the bottom of the hour when Councilman Paul Cunningham comes on. Again, we're not here just to do an update on a very technical, probably first most important policy decision that the mayor and council will be making since they were elected last fall. But basically here is, and we'll get into this with Paul as well, here are here's what looks to be where we're at. It looks to be that after not raising fees in 2014, as we were coming out of a recession, the mayor and council made the decision to do that, that there is going to be kind of basically staying the same for housing. And I'll ask the councilman about this, but it looks like multifamily might increase in cost. But what we're hearing from the business community is a concern about new retail establishments fees doubling, right? And I'm going to talk to the councilman about this because certainly he's looking at it from a, can we pay for services? Can we pay for parks? Can we pay for more people coming into the area? The business community in Tucson is saying, wait a second, 60% of the city's budget comes from sales tax. So what happens when on new retail establishments, we are increasing the amount that they have to pay in these impact fees before even starting business? And what happens with the changing state of retail, right? More is spent online. And so when we're asking brick and mortar retail to stand up in the city of Tucson, is this increase in fees going to, and I've heard it explained to me, kill the golden goose? And so this is what's behind why I wanted to get Councilman Paul Cunningham on the air, because I think that there's two philosophies of how Tucson grows. And make no mistake about it, Tucson's going to grow. If you know one thing about our beautiful city, we have horrifically underestimated how we grow. Right? It always cracks me up how back in the day, there were really smart Tucson people who said, Tucson will never cross 30,000 people. Tucson will never be bigger than 30,000 people. I take the state's high side forecast that Tucson will be a metro area of 1.5 million people by 2050. That's what they estimate. I think Tucson will get there because we always underestimate where we're going to be. And so this philosophy of growth is, do you make long-term investments and keep fees and costs low, right? There's this philosophy that growth will pay for itself, that growth will pay for itself, that as you get more retail, as you get more people, as you create more density, more services are bought, more goods are bought, more sales tax is generated, the city's pie gets bigger, and there's more money to pay for services. The other philosophy that you see in this whole discussion is, no, we want to basically pay as you go. It's not literally pay as you go. Don't want to confuse any county listeners out there. It's not the same thing. But basically that we're going to make sure that there are fees drawn out of development as it happens to pay for those costs. I think it's two important philosophies of growth. And I think no doubt that we see that manifested in Tucson between certain groups. So I just thought I would throw that out there. That's always been my point, is bigger than the details is that I think the decision made on this reflects how we think about growing our economic pie, how we pay for services, and when we do it. Do you do it as it goes, right? Do you ask the developer, ask the retailer, ask the business person to cover those costs as you go? And the state requires you to some extent. Or do you take a longer-term approach and an economic pie building? So this is the stuff that I want to talk to Councilman Paul Cunningham about at the bottom of the hour. And I got to tell you, he's fired up. One thing that you can always count on from the councilman is you're going to know where he's coming from all the time. He is fired up about this issue. He's been in the papers about it, has concerns about it. He's fired up. And I'm looking forward to having that fired up conversation. Let's go to our first break. When we come back, we'll continue our Friday news and trends coverage in Tucson. And again, Councilman Paul Cunningham will come on the line at the bottom of the hour to talk about next week's continuing conversation in Mayor and Council about basically how do we fund growth in Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
100 years of election coverage on radio.
Alexander Hamilton said a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement.
Your vote, your voice. Election 2020.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to the 1030, The Voice studios. You're listening to Tipping Point. My name is Zach Gensler. I am your host. Every day, 9 to 10, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And we are doing what we often do here on the show, wrapping up the week with the news, trends, and issues on the table. But I want to take this second segment of our show and do something a little bit different. We're about 10 minutes away from our last conversation of the week with Councilman Paul Cunningham, who is really, 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 really fired up about the culmination of a year and a half discussion in mayor and council and public input about impact fees. A very technical topic relative to the city of Tucson, but to me it's important, and we're going to flesh this out with him because it speaks to how Tucson thinks about its growth. So we're going to get there. How do we pay for our growth? We'll get there in a minute. But I'm fired up in my own way because yet again have another article in the paper about the great things about Arizona. And yes, why are you fired up about that? Good, bad, good way, bad way. Here's the thing. Here's the cool thing. And, I'm just not the guy that thinks ahead about Valentine's Day. You can ask my wife and it's a little annoying. But, today is Valentine's Day. And as always, it's also Arizona's birthday. We get to celebrate both on the same day of the year. And so there was an article in the Star today called Happy Birthday, Arizona. Here are some things we love about you, right? We get to celebrate the state of Arizona, Valentine's Day. And if you've been listening to my show for any period of time, I'm going to get halfway through this list and you're going to know where I'm going with this. And here's the quote to start off the article, right? While some outsiders view our state as a hot, dry, barren land, we're here to say that Arizona is so much more than just the state where the Grand Canyon is. Okay, I got an issue with that. Arizona is the most in-migration state of 2019. There's probably a prettier way to say that. Arizona is the state where the most people moved to in 2019. I don't know why we keep sticking to this brand that we're this hot, dry, barren state that's a secret to everybody. Let me tell you, it's not a secret anymore. More and more people are coming to Arizona than any other state because they know that it's not just the state where the Grand Canyon is. We're over the Grand Canyon. All right. This is not the 1950s and the 1960s. People are not discovering Arizona as tourists for the first time in terms of the national consciousness. It's no longer just the state of Goldwater and McCain. People know what Arizona is. I'll get to that in a minute. So here's a tribute to our home state and our number one Valentine. Here's what we love the most about Arizona, the state, right? Not just Tucson, the state. The food. The monsoons. Speaking of the weather, I'm reading the headlines of part of this article. The diverse landscapes, the wildlife, the sunsets. Okay, just one more picture of the sunsets. The cactus, the sports. Now, I mentioned that if you've been listening to my show for any period of time, you probably know where I'm going with this. 790-2040s, you're live on opportunity to call in. Here are some things we love about the state of Arizona. While some outsiders view our state as a hot, dry, barren land, we're here to say that Arizona is so much more than that. And for the love of this state, and I love this state more and more all the time, we gotta catch up. Right? No one's viewing Arizona as a barren wasteland of no man's land and pioneering. No one looks at Arizona that way anymore. People are not moving to Arizona because of the food. People are not moving to Arizona because of the monsoons. People are not moving to Arizona because of the diverse landscapes. I mean, they are, but that's not what makes us the most in-migration state in the country. People are moving to Arizona, and let's be real. Let's be honest. It's Friday. We can be honest. They're moving mostly to the great state of Maricopa. And we're getting some of that in Tucson, but it's mostly the great state of Maricopa. They're moving to Maricopa because of jobs, of employment, of innovation, the universities. The most innovative university in the country is in Arizona. One of the top health tech and science and space tech universities and research universities in the country is in Tucson. It's still affordable. The cost of living across the board is still pretty good. Why don't we talk about these things, right? And I don't want to keep banging this drum, right? Because after a while, y'all are going to start saying, okay, we know where Zach's going. We know the shtick. We're tired of the shtick. And so until you start calling me in to tell me you're going to tune out, I'm going to keep banging the drum. And the drum is, I talked to Louis Christensen about this. He's a monthly contributor on the show. Got one of the U of A has one of the most premier research labs in the country under U of A Stadium. It's a picture of what we do all the time. We take these incredible gems and we hide them away. We don't talk about them. I don't know. Give me a call. Do I need a reality check? Do I need to chill? 790-2040. Give me a call. But I just saw this. Happy birthday, Arizona. Here are some things we love about you. We don't talk about how Governor Ducey has made Arizona a sandbox for fintech innovation, right? For financial tech, banking tech, figuring out how to do financial systems better. We don't talk about how there's new funding for our universities around science and tech. We don't talk about how Tucson is one of the most rapid growing tech hubs in the country. We don't talk about how Phoenix's growth is driven by, I think, urban sprawl policy, but also just some amazing innovation and business friendliness over the last few years and specific investment into there. We keep and this is a Tucson article, so I think I know where it comes from. We keep coming back to the weather, the trails, right? I like to say it all the time. Tucson is a town that likes to talk about its tacos and trails more than its tech and talent. And I'm not angsty about it. I'm excited about it, right? How about we have IBM headquartered down the road from us. We have the third largest tech park in North America. We have, it's been around here for 25 years. Tucson has some really special things happening. Arizona has some really special things happening. What is it going to take for one of these articles down the road to be happy birthday, Arizona? Here are some things we love about you. And it's not just the usual suspects of U of A basketball and great sunshine in the monsoons. And I have to say it all the time because people get the impression I don't like those things. I love those things. We're just not in the 50s and 60s anymore when talking about Arizona meant putting sunshine in a can and bottling it literally and selling it. We've come a ways from there, but we haven't progressed in how we talk about it. Just, you know, this is my sandbox here. 790-2040. Give me a call with the things that you love about Tucson. I'll keep the phone lines open about this. I'm going to make the executive decision. It might bug Councilman Paul Cunningham, but I want you to call in and tell me what you love about your state, love about your city, favorite restaurants, favorite businesses. What do you love about Tucson? It's our statehood today. Give us a call, 790-2040. When we come back from our bottom of the hour news and break, Councilman Paul Cunningham comes on to talk impact fees with us, and so much more. We've got so much more to go here on the hour. Give us that call. We'll see you after the bottom of the hour news and break and our sponsor messages. Now, I think we have time for one call if we are able to sneak it in. What do you love about Tucson? John, are we ready to go? Go ahead.
Hi. I love what you just said, Zach, and I was born and raised in Tucson, right? I got back here a couple years ago after living away for 22 years. Nothing's changed. I love my desert, but the roads have not changed. The politics are worse. I just can't believe how backwards my town is now. And it's a shame because Phoenix, everybody is going there because of the jobs. It's like we want to... I don't know. I don't know who's in charge here. I really don't. But when I first moved here, one of my relatives, all my family built their homes many, many, many years ago when there was nothing but vacant land.
Thank you so much for your call. I am bumping against the bottom of the hour. But thank you for calling in with your love of the city. I'm with you. We'll be back from the bottom of the hour break.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. Stocks are fluctuating in trading. Investors still trying to gauge the effect of the coronavirus outbreak on the economy. Meantime, retail sales rose in January for a fourth straight month as cheaper prices at the pump encouraged spending on other goods. The value of overall sales climbed 0.3%. However, the prior month's gain was revised lower, and that's weighing on stocks. Roku's fourth quarter results beat expectations, sending shares jumping. The video streaming platform had a surge in active accounts thanks to new services like Disney Plus. Universal Music planning to go public by early 2023, the company raking in money from the surging popularity of music streaming. And surprisingly, Valentine's Day is not especially a good day for most restaurants. The holiday ranked 94th for the year in total sales. That's according to software company Womply. The number one day of the year? That's a Saturday before Mother's Day. Courtney Donahoe, Bloomberg.
CBS News update. This morning, President Trump tweeted a quote from his attorney general. The president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case, but he didn't directly address what William Barr told ABC News about tweets from the president that he says make his job impossible to do, as in the move to lower the sentence recommendation for Trump ally Roger Stone.
I had made a decision that I thought was fair and reasonable in this particular case, and once the tweet occurred, the question is, well, now what do I do?
CBS News White House correspondent Ben Tracy tells us.
I think we'll get a pretty good sense via the Twitter feed, and the president may be talking later. We'll get a sense of how irritated he is with the attorney general, or if he's really going to let this roll off his back. But this is not a president that has a history of taking criticism well.
CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to ImpactSOAZ.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional.
We're the trusted voice in the Tucson community.
Tucson is a town that likes to talk about its tacos and trails more than its tech and talent. We got to tell the stories of our city moving us forward.
News and weather all day long.
Expect valley rain and mountain snow.
Traffic updates for your local commutes.
Accident blocking southbound Craycroft.
It's local talk that matters to you.
I don't know if anyone's ever done this. Lose two different Senate seats within 730 days of each other.
1030 The Voice. Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point after bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages here on 1030 The Voice. Every day, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Before we get into it with Councilman Paul Cunningham on our live line, today's third segment is sponsored by the Talent Store, founded by my friend Devin Underwood, who has helped local companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and talent strategy consulting. So many of you listening are running successful local, mid, and even large employment brands and companies in Tucson. And as larger companies come into our market and the talent pool starts to tighten, organizations that approach talent attraction, acquisition, and retention will stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. That should be you. For more information, visit yourtalentstore.com and schedule a free consultation. The Talent Store is where thought leadership, opportunity, and talent connect to create growth by bringing on the right C-suite executive, mid-level team manager, member, or just retaining the team that you have. yourtalentstore.com. All righty. Looking forward to having this conversation with Councilman Paul Cunningham, Tucson City councilperson. Very passionate about the item of impact fees. About a year and a half discussion happening in the city, required by the state every 5 years to basically look at the numbers and make sure that there's a reasonable adjustment for paying for new development with impact fees going to police, parks, roads, and fire. Councilman Paul Cunningham, welcome onto our live line today. How are you?
Great, Zach. Great to be on.
Yes, absolutely. So we had a first conversation last week after you published an article in the Tucson Sentinel about some of your concerns as this impact fee conversation winds up. It basically looks like residential impact fees are going to be decreased even a little bit. Mixed use and multifamily might go up a little bit. And retail impact fees are set to increase quite a bit. Give us kind of the state of the affairs on this. Where are we at right now? And then we'll get into kind of what your thoughts are.
So the bottom line is right now we collect $7,455 a door for single family residents. It's a bit abbreviated for multifamily and for townhomes, but for the most part, it's between $6,000 and $7,500 a door. That goes into the parks fund. That goes into the streets fund, and a lot of that can be used for ADA, hawk-like pedestrian expansion, where most of our general fund needs to be used for pavement, and we need to be able to set aside that money for pavement and repaving. Everybody knows we need to repave streets as much as possible, and so we can't do that if we have to do ADA improvements every single time. We couldn't afford it, so the reduction in street impact fees concerns me. Moreover, the reduction in park impact fees concerns me, considering that the going rate for public lands and park lands in acreage per square mile throughout the country is, you know, right around 15%. We're about 3%. So we need to be doing a little better than that. We're not going to be able to afford to buy land, let alone build new parks, if we're not going to be collecting at least what we were collecting before. And the other part that really concerns me is that we're supposed to be collecting 10,000. We've actually been in a phase-in rate for 5 years, trying to spur development, and we've been successful. And at some point, this was supposed to increase back up to 10. And instead of it ever increasing to 10, we're actually reducing it more. Yes, people over 2,500 square feet are going to be paying more than 7,500 under the current proposal. But the bottom line is less than 10% of the permits that are pulled. So at this point, I don't think that the impact fees are high enough. Look, I understand that there's a formula and there's some IIP concerns, and we have to expand and basically outline what our expansion and parks are. But these impact fees can go for extra parking spots at parks. They can go for shade covers, which is a largely needed thing. They can even go for splash pads. They can't go for aquatics, but they can technically go for splash pads. They can go for extra basketball courts. They can go for shaded basketball courts. These are amenities that Tucsonans deserve, and we're not going to be able to afford to put them in and continue to improve our parks if we're not collecting enough impact fees.
So just to make sure that we're tracking on how this works, as an example, a new retail establishment goes up or a new housing development goes up, there's math behind a certain fee charged to the developer, and then that fee is broken up a certain percentage across, again, roads, fire, police, and parks. And in 2014, the mayor and council made a decision not to increase those fees because we were coming out of a recession. The thought was, as you mentioned, to kind of lay off some of the fees on development and retail and housing to kind of help finish coming out of the recession. Is that the basic idea of impact fees and where we've come from in the last 5 years?
Well, the bottom line is back then nobody was building anything and we weren't collecting any money. So it was better to get something than nothing. So by being able to reduce the price payment per build at that time when the banks weren't lending a lot of money coming out of that recession, it was really hard to get a a program that was going to work. And so I felt that I stand by that vote in 2014. And then we extended them, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, we extended that reduction. That reduction was set to expire. And now not only is it going to expire, we're going to go back. They want lower impact fees from there. That's a sweet deal, man.
So, just to clarify, because there's thousands of pages out there, and I've done my best to scan as many of them as I can, but there's a couple of themes at play, and I think a couple of themes that feature some of the business concerns and some of your concerns. There are fees that are being decreased slightly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Councilman Paul Cunningham, on residential development. It would seem that the business concern is more on a pretty large increase on the retail and commercial developments.
Yeah, so the retail side, there's a proposed phase-in compromise. I'm actually okay with it. I think there's some questions. I have a few questions about the details. I think that, one of the things is that we're continuously having to reappropriate and reallocate retail space and repurpose it because it's – people don't do as much retail shopping anymore. Let's face it. We built these big boxes and now people order on Amazon. That's just kind of the way it is. So that's happening. People don't go to the movies as much anymore. That's happening. They can Netflix it on their phone. So there's some changes in retail space per se. So, we're probably not going to have that much retail space build. So that's got to be a flowing conversation. We may end up pricing new retail builds out of the market if we're not careful, and I'm willing to have that conversation. But on the residential side, we were reducing impact fees. From what I understand, there's a new schedule out there where we're going to talk about it next Tuesday, in which the $1,935 we were getting for single-family residences and impact fees for parks is going to creep up a little bit, so I'm happy about that. Now I'm kind of worried about the roads. I mean, if we've got Move Tucson and all the mass mobility plans, impact fees are going to play a large part into that. So we've got to factor that in the IIP. And I think if we do that, we're going to come to – here's the deal. It's still going to end up being a basic reduction. Not only that, I want to put in a couple caveats. I want to allow developers to be able to cherry pick off the IIP and use that for impact fee credits. That way we save in mobilization costs. That way the money gets used right away. That way we're able to build amenities at a faster pace. So there's some, it's a larger conversation than that, but I think that we haven't really done all of the best practices or implemented all of the best practices available to us. And that's kind of where I'm at on this. And, I stand by that statement.
Let's go, John, to our final break of the hour, because I don't want to get into this next theme. I want to leave time. We'll come back with Councilman Paul Cunningham and talk about really what this decision says about the philosophies of growth over the last few years, how we create more of it, how we pay for it, how it pays for itself, or maybe concerns that it doesn't. I think this conversation is even more than the nuts and bolts, a bigger philosophical question, and certainly a philosophical question that Councilman Paul Cunningham raised in an article in the Sentinel last week titled Skeptical About Tucson Cutting Impact Fees. When we come back from our break, we'll get into that and more here on Tipping Point. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Tucson station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
As Arizona celebrates the 108th anniversary of statehood, the Tucson History Podcast from 1030 The Voice looks back at the Old Pueblo's time as part of the Confederacy, our days as a territorial capital, and how getting a university in 1885 didn't please a whole lot of folks.
When the delegates came back, they were pelted with rotten vegetables. People really did not want a university.
From territory to statehood with Arizona State historian Marshall Trimble. Download it at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or KVOI.com.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy Friday to you. Happy Statehood Day. Everyone knows it's Valentine's Day, but happy Statehood Day to Arizona. And we love our city. We love our state. We're wrapping up our Friday show here with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham talking about the impact fee question that is coming to a close after a year and a half of review and public input. And let me start with this question to get us back into it, Councilman Paul Cunningham. It seems like there's a philosophical discussion going on. One is, you know, look, we are thousands of housing units under par from where we need to be. We're in an incredibly tight market. Now we're right kind of in this momentum period of development and growth in the city. Some say, why put anything in the way that would stop that? Why don't we look at things like flex zones, right? Expanding that to better incentivize infill development so that, you know, burden on our roads and fire and services are less. Let's innovate and keep costs down. Others say, look, growth hasn't paid for itself like we thought it would. We need to have that incremental payment for services as new development goes in. Do you see this impact fee discussion as that philosophical discussion, or do you think it's two separate things?
Well, first of all, the idea that there's a big market for houses means that impact fees would probably be able to go up. I mean, that's kind of economics 101, Zach. Supply and demand. So if the demand is higher, we can raise the price.
That's first. Could you possibly give that to Nicole?
So do you... Sorry, I couldn't tell if you were being interrupted there. Do you... Okay, continue.
So for, I just said from a supply and demand standpoint, wouldn't that warrant that we could raise the impact fee?
I mean, on an economics 101 level, I hear from housing developers that they're really burdened by costs, even on affordable housing. I was just wondering if you see the
$600 in impact fees is $1.72 a month in value. The proposal that I'm talking about is less than $600 more. So I'm not buying that.
Gotcha. On the question of legality, what legal boundaries are you working in? I know you're working on
There's a significant number of state statutes that are set up that are basically designed to really allow cities to offer incentives for impact fees if builders are willing to build the amenities. They're kind of all over the map as far as different municipalities and the practices they push. I think Gilbert's model is pretty good. I like the Deere's model. Some municipalities charge impact fees for wastewater and water. We don't charge those fees. We have a meter requirement, but the meter requirement doesn't even come close to what other jurisdictions charge in water impact fees. So there's a whole, it's kind of apples and oranges, but what I tell you is that our fee of a total cost of $8,500 per door on single family residences would go down. Would be very competitive. The other piece that I tell you is that there are provisions we can put in specifically for ADUs. People who want to add on like a like a guest house and stuff like that onto an existing property. We can allow one time breaks or one time additions. And I actually like that idea. That allows for some transgenerational housing, where if a family moves in and the grandparents want to have a little casita in the back, I like the idea of that. So those are kind of the nuances and some of the things we have to talk about. But at the end of the day, you can't have a reduced price for 5 years, and when it comes time to raise the price, lower the price. That's not fair to the community.
The speak to Councilman Paul Cunningham, kind of what you see as the city's view on growth and development. What's your view on this kind of philosophical question between growth paying for itself and needing to extract these fees as development happens? Can you speak
to
that?
Absolutely, growth has to pay for itself. If you're not programming that in, then you're not going to be a very successful city. Ultimately, your services and your service delivery is going to get overextended, and you have to raise taxes. So that's kind of what we were stuck in. And I don't want to be there ever again. I don't want Tucson to ever be there again.
You had mentioned, Councilman Paul Cunningham, in your article that one of your concerns is that you felt like Planning and Development Services, who looks at the fee structures and makes the proposals, was hearing more from the development and business community than the neighborhood community. The business community, as I understand it, is talking about, well, what if we, especially with the retail fees, which are the most dramatically increasing, what if we phase those in over 3 years rather than immediately?
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
Well, last segment, I actually said I'd support something like that. I think that's actually a good idea. There's some merit to that discussion. And like I said in the previous segment, retail space is at a premium anyway, because we have to repurpose it all the time. We're actually overbuilt in retail space in Tucson. So impact fees being higher or lower is kind of a discussion of, it's kind of a need and where. Like, every single scenario is different. And that's one of the things that makes Tucson unique, is that you'll have situations where they'll have a neighborhood that's 7 miles away or 5 miles away from the closest retail. Well, we want that growth to go in. That's smart growth. We've got to promulgate that growth. But then we have other ones where somebody wants to build a new shopping center on a corner where there's already four shopping centers and the population has been stagnant for 18 years. Well, why would we want to zone that shopping center? We're just basically going to set up more empty shopettes. So it's a very wide and holistic, it's a holistic discussion when you go over kind of how all that stuff works. But the bottom line is, we have to grow smartly, and growth has to pay for itself. Otherwise, as a municipality, we're not going to be successful, but also as a community, we're not going to be successful. So those are the nuances that you kind of get into when you get into the weeds project by project. But overall, the fee structure has to be there. It has to be built in. There can't be surprises. And that way, people know what's going on. As far as the phase-in for retail, like I said, I'm good with that discussion. I'm actually good with phasing it in. I mean, we're practically doubling the things.
Right.
But I'm very concerned. You know, here, like, there's stuff we can do that we're not even, like, considering. Like, on an over 12-acre project or 10-acre project of single-family residences, if they build a park that's at least, you know, an acre and a quarter or so, acre and a half, that's got a couple amenities, we don't need to charge them impact fees. We can do an in-lieu program. And there's communities that already do that. On the subject of multifamily, if multifamily is going to build amenities on a site going vertical, let's give them credit for the park. So there's a lot of creative things we can do that can, one, from a park standpoint, spur development. On the other side, we're reducing road fees as well. This is really dangerous. We're in the middle of we're talking about $1 billion in liabilities and roads we have. And I get it. I mean, somebody's going to call up and say, well, you can't use impact fees to do road maintenance. I'm very aware. But we can add to the capacity of the road. Well, if that's in walking bridges and hawk lights and ADA-compliant bike lanes and ADA-compliant sidewalks, which we don't have enough of, I think there's opportunity there. And so that's kind of why I look at these fees and go, it's supposed to be tied into our needs. Well, if it's tied into our needs, we really haven't labeled all of our needs yet.
Councilman Paul Cunningham, we're having a discussion about impact fees. This is on the agenda next week. We've got about 2 minutes left, and so I want to do a quick look ahead. What's going to be on the agenda next weekend, and where does the city council go from here on this issue? What's the timeline for all this?
Well, the vote, you know, one of the things you talked about was that, you know, I was really worried about the neighbors not having a discussion. And the reason was I hadn't heard from any. I called a few neighborhood activists. They hadn't even seen the fee schedule. And a lot of them are newer. I have some newly organized neighborhoods on the east side. They're not even in tune with what impact fees are exactly. So it was, you know, there's some community education that had to go through. So we decided to vote to close the public hearing. And I wasn't really comfortable doing that at the time because I hadn't heard from one neighbor about the new. Not that I hadn't heard a yes, we like them, or a no, we don't like them. I hadn't heard anything. So I didn't buy the idea that everybody had their say. And so that was why I made the motion to leave the public hearing open. We have closed the council didn't agree with me. They closed the public hearing.
It was a 5-2 vote, correct?
Yeah, in a 5-2 vote. Thank you for Ms. Santa Cruz for at least hearing me out. And I don't even think the council was like had bad intentions to close the public hearing. They saw it as we have a timetable. We want to be in state compliance, and I get that. But I felt we had that. I thought we had a week of leeway we could pull it off. So now we've got to hear from the public. Now we have to have these discussions kind of on sidebars and then present something to the public in a few months. Hopefully we'll be able to call a second public hearing if that's within statute and go over them. I think we're going to have I know staff knows my concerns. I think we're going to have a really good proposal on Tuesday. I'm optimistic. Look, we've got a great manager. We've got a great city staff. And even though I disagree with him on this, I think we're going to come to a really good solution. It's going to be a win-win for everyone.
City Councilman, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, thank you for your time. Happy Friday. Happy Statehood Day. Have a great weekend, and thanks for coming on the show. All right, Tucson, have a great weekend. We'll see you back on Monday at 9. This has been Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. See you back on Monday. Take care.
The Color Guard Classic, featuring the biggest stars on the PGA Tour Champions, returns to Omni Tucson National, February 26th through March 1st. The fun gets rolling on Wednesday and Thursday with the celebrity-studded Jose Cuervo Pro-Am. And Friday's opening round finishes with the legendary After Party, sponsored by Desert Diamond Casinos. After the last putt drops on Saturday, Nova Home Loans presents country music star Lee Bryce and friends for an evening of great music and fun, as the day's ticket includes admission to both the golf tournament and the concert. The Color Guard Classic, a fun-filled week of PGA Tour Champions Golf, celebrities, and live entertainment, while supporting colon cancer awareness and Tucson Youth Sports. It's a cause for celebration. The Color Guard Classic, February 26th through March 1st at Omni Tucson National Resort. Tickets and more at 571-0400 or ColaGuardClassic.com.
Adventure is calling at Casino del Sol. It's our $50,000 road trip adventure giveaway, now through February 16th. Club Sol members swipe free daily for a chance to win cash or free play on Saturdays every hour from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Then on February 16th, one lucky winner will win the grand prize, a 2019 Jayco Hummingbird travel trailer from RV City and $5,000 in free play. Don't miss our $50,000 road trip adventure giveaway, only at Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson. Enterprise of the Pascua Yaki Truck.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.